Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink because he is my disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." When Jesus finished giving these commands to his 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and preach in their towns. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Most of us know of Dante only because of his Inferno, and that's because we don't like to read, and so we quit after the first book. Dante wrote three books. He wrote more than that, but three that we remember. It was a trilogy of sorts, better than Star Wars. It begins in the Inferno, it takes us up through purgatory, and it ends in heaven, or paradise. The genius of the Inferno, and this is the part that people always remember and like what high school kids love to read about when you have to teach them, is that Dante employs this idea of contrapasso. It's often called the punishment fits the crime, but that kind of misses the point. It's that you correct a passion by offering it sort of to its fullest extent, or the logical extension. So it works like this. The fornicators in hell are literally joined at the hip, because the good which they chose instead of God was that of a person. And of course it turns out that nobody likes anybody else enough to want to be joined at the hip with them for all eternity, and so they're miserable. The gluttons gorge and purge. Gorge and purge for all eternity. So it's like being bulimic forever. When we get to Mount Purgatory, the story is a little bit different, because there, the souls haven't chosen definitively against God. They've just got this residue of sin attached to them, kind of like gum stuck on your shoe. And so what they have to employ are the kind of penances that will help them let go of their passions. So the gluttons instead are fasting, to choose a good other than what they chose in life. In paradise, though, and this is the reason people need to read all three books, see? In paradise, we see, well, the opposite of what happens in hell. What happens when people choose the good that's best for them, and how that works out in the course of a life lived even after death. I raise all this today because of the way that Dante writes of Saint Bonaventure. Bonaventure is a kind of a parallel to Saint Thomas Aquinas. So in the history of the church in the Middle Ages, you've got St. Francis, who's sort of a very active social person, and St. Dominic, who's this great missionary preacher. They're trying to do much of the same work, just in two different parts of Europe, but they become these sort of highlights of the medieval church, such that if you go to St. Peter's today, the two saints who are holding up the chair of St. Peter are Dominic and Francis. Two of their most important sons, the next generation that followed after them, that really made their orders so great that 800 years today, people still join them, are Thomas Aquinas, the Dominican, and Bonaventure, the Franciscan. The thing is, though, kind of like with most families, the cousins that are most alike are most liable to get in a fight on Thanksgiving. So the Franciscans and the Dominicans have a kind of a constant rivalry run with another. And so in the paradise, on the presumption that the saints of the orders have overcome even those vices or bad habits that the order is attached to them, St. Francis sings of the glories of St. Dominic. And St. Thomas sings of the glories of St. Bonaventure. Now there's a great lesson here, which is, I think, precisely the lesson of today's gospel. Listen again, in light of that, to the words that the Lord offers to the apostles. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever gives up his own glory will attain true glory in heaven. Whoever can delight in the accomplishments of another will have accomplished even more than the one whom he appreciates. You see what's happening? The other thing that Bonaventure does, which maybe is even more important for us today, is that he sings of the glories of St. Dominic, and then he gives kind of a critique of his own order, of his own community. He's very honest, even in heaven, with sin back on earth, with mistakes that he made and that his brothers continue to make, even into the time that theoretically we're reading. How honest are you willing to be tonight with yourself, with your brothers and sisters, with the Lord? Are you honest enough to be able to delight absolutely, fully, the proudest you've ever been of yourself? Can you be that for your biggest rival? As embarrassed as you've been about your own failings and foibles, can you protest that in light of the Lord, knowing that he can redeem even your failure? Can you come to Holy Communion tonight, hoping, praying that someday in heaven you will be singing hymns, inspired songs, canticles, not only to the Lord, but to those whom he made that you don't like yet?